Welcome to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I want to get over on the microphone. I do. I'm John DeSando.
These shows don't work without that element. Okay.
And this is Double Take.
I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando.
This is Cinema Classics.
You bet.
We have a mashup tete-a-tete for you today.
No, I don't know. It's hard
keeping up with all these new movies. Two recent films that are in best of the year conversations in wildly different contexts are Belfast.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh's wonderful Reverie.
And Julia Ducournau's French, I don't even know how to describe it, Titane.
Yeah.
It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes this year.
Yeah, it's coming from the plate on the lady's head, titanium.
Right.
So titane is the way I would say it if we were...
But it's French.
I know.
So I would say titane.
All right, so what do we know?
Titane.
The blood and guts in the film, I know.
Okay. So, I want to posit this to you, that these two films, wildly different, films, tonally, stylistically.
Everything.
I want to say that in some ways, they're not so thematically different. They're in many ways about family.
Yes, they are. And Branagh, as you would expect, is his reimagining his 9-year old when he was 9 years old and in Belfast at the time of the Troubles.
Yeah.
Between the Catholics and the Protestants in 1969. So that, you know, that's what I expected. It's more pleasant than I would have expected. He does reference the fighting, but yet it is mostly still, and you're right, it's mostly about family, about love, and about the way I think of my childhood post-World War II.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better.
Right.
All rose-covered glasses in that. Yeah. And
well, it's very romantic, and it takes a very romantic, loving view of place, people.
Yeah.
You know the Van Morrison music.
I know.
In it.
He is such a bad boy.
Yeah. So you have this little boy, right? He's living with his grandparents, live in the same house.
Yep.
His mom and dad, he loves them both. You know, the mom is impossibly gorgeous.
Yeah, as the dad is pretty handsome.
Yeah, by the way, this guy, his name is, what is that guy's name? Jamie Dornan.
Yeah, right.
And all I kept bringing me out of the movie because I kept thinking, could he be the next James Bond?
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah.
We've had Irish James Bonds before.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which is one of the flaws of the movie, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody looks like that. Lives in this small town in Belfast.
It's just really
Branagh. Come on, but that's part.
But it's part of it.
Right? It's part of the romance.
This over-romanticized vision of the past. The black and white cinematography is really beautiful.
You get pops of
color here and there.
Listen to an interview somewhere where Branagh talks about the choices you have when you do black and white. Amazing. That it's not just, okay, let's do black and white.
Yeah.
Let's do a particular way,
of course,
black and white.
This surprises you? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I mean, I just hadn't thought about it. Of course, in the current digital empire. Yes.
Yes, of course. There's a different black
I know. I just love it. Anyway, the black and white works for me. I think there's a bit of color at the beginning.
There is.
Yeah. I think there's a tracking shot through Belfast or something.
For sure.
Yeah. The kid.
So you do get that contrast. But I want to talk about... I'll defer to your pronunciation of titane. Flat American version.
Yes, we should have gone to YouTube. And
so this movie is about a young woman, a serial killer, who, you know, suffered some traumatic automobile accident as a kid, where you mentioned she gets a steel plate in her head. She grows up to have this car fetish. She has sex with a car.
One of the more interesting, odd pieces of business in film at any time.
That is an understatement.
And she gets pregnant.
And then she becomes pregnant.
I know.
And later she starts seeping oil out of her breasts.
I know.
Okay, so that's this first. That's the setup to the movie, right? this woman who is so damaged, and I think really what hovers over the proceedings of the first part of that film is her relationship with her father. Guy clearly doesn't love this kid. He's annoyed by her. So I think the premise is that when family goes awry, and then there's a traumatic experience to sort of cement that gap and the lack of love in your life as a child, you create a sociopath, right? Because then she goes out and she becomes a serial killer, which segues into this part where in order to evade the law, she disguises herself as a kid who was missing.
Yeah, she saw a missing poster.
Right.
And she made herself look, which was
an age progression.
Whoa. Thing. And but the way in which she transformed herself is truly amazing cinematically.
It is a brutal scene, right?
She's smashing her nose.
And
let me warn the audience in a way and recommend in a way. If you love cinema and you want to see how far it can go, this is a movie to see. If you're squeamish, is not the movie to see.
Right, and this is part of the why this little conversation is so brilliant, because Belfast is a very soothing, warm, charming film. And Branagh knows exactly how to orchestrate an audience's emotions.
Oh, he does.
He knows how to lure you in, soothe you, trouble you. Julia Ducournau is all about frustrating you and challenging you to look away, to sit tight, to sort of challenging your perceptions about what a healthy relationship is, what love looks like.
Yeah.
And that is the beauty part of the movie for me, is her relationship with Vincent, the father who the aging firefighter.
Yes.
Who accepts her as his...
An incredible Hulk, this guy.
Yeah. As his grown son, who he hasn't seen.
Yeah.
And I thought, as a father, you must relate to this in some way, right? That the beauty part is that he misses this kid so much. It's created such a hole in his life and his existence and his identity, that he is just willing to believe that this person doesn't look anything like his.
But don't you think he knows?
Of course.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. He's so willing to believe
he
it.
He wants to love.
He wants
and
to love.
That is really the answer that Julia is putting forth here. And I really don't know if I have the courage to see her raw, but I need to. But Branagh, I've seen most of his productions. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who has no problem playing Shakespeare, and I thought I brought a quote for you.
Yes, let's
hear it. Why he's has so much experience with Shakespeare and yet can be Hercule Poirot in Orient Express. Mm-hmm. Right, here's what he says.
Yeah.
There's no situation in Shakespeare that I've come up against that somehow hasn't been described in those plays.
That's interesting.
How about that?
It is. And just to cap off the show real quick, what Ducournau is doing in Titane with the relationships, with the sheer experience of love, fatherly love, daughterly love, gender fluid love, loving car, it is Shakespearean in its scope.
Yes, it is. However, if you and I weren't such close friends and colleagues, that she would have never gotten on this show. But since you ordered me to see it, and I always take your recommendations, and they are almost always flawless.
I think you have to admit, though, and I think you do, like, there is, whether or not you enjoy this movie,
exactly.
It's not about enjoying it.
Exactly. Right? There is nothing.
Every once in a while, you need to see a movie that rattles you, that challenges your expectations. Whether you dislike this movie or you love this movie, I don't think you can say that it's bad.
No.
You have to. It's a useful exercise if you care about film.
And if you care about acting, to see her in this is just remarkable. It reminds me that this is the kind of thing that, in a more modest way, Christian Bale would have done.
Yeah.
Transforming himself.
Right,
as
right, right.
She transforms herself. Agatha Roussel.
Agatha Roussel.
Yeah.
Just a quick reminder, you're listening to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies, case in point, our mashup of Titane and Belfast.
And, believe me, I thought the show was going to be only about Kenneth Branagh. But since you brought in Titane, it did make an interesting mashup. I did want to just mention about Kenneth Branagh and that his two favorite films of mine are Henry V, and
which was his debut.
Yes, and that is an amazing. I went back to look at the final scene, the Agincourt battle.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
Wow.
I mean, the tracking shot on that is to die for. And the Patrick Boyle's music.
All right.
He creates a music that sounds medieval. Anyway, Branagh has it all. He's got, he can get classic, but he can get down. He can marry one of the greatest women in the world, Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
And lose her over an affair with Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, interesting. They stayed married for a while, didn't they?
Yes.
You were going to mention a second Branagh film. You said
I'm beginning to think that this might be, that Belfast might be my second favorite of his. I shouldn't say that. The Shakespeare that I love the most is Much Ado About Nothing.
Okay.
I think that is a...
I love the sheer... You know, when Branagh burst onto the scene with Henry V, you know, he was early on compared to Orson Welles in his brashness.
Yes.
You know, his seeming command over cinema without ever having done it before.
Yeah.
There was that mid-80s to early 90s, at his output then, you know.
Yeah.
And he... attempted Hamlet, if you'll remember.
I do remember it, yes.
His Hamlet was extraordinary, I thought. And it's, you know...
Visually, it's...
Visually, but also, you know, it was the full text. Yep. That was very long, if you'll recall.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't think I've ever seen it again, but I can still sort of conjure the overall visual texture of the film in my head.
Yes.
And so I would list that one as one... you know, short of that, he's been kind of foundering as a director, I think. His Murder on the Orient Express, that recent remake, was a hit.
Yeah.
I missed it. Did you see it?
I think I did. I saw I saw the reference to Thor in Belfast. Remember the kids reading the comic?
Mm-hmm.
Which Branagh did.
Which he did direct the first Thor, which is not considered one of Marvel's better movies.
Yeah, right, right.
So, he's been sort of... I don't know where he's been, so AWOL as a director lately. So it's great that he digs his heels into something personal like this, and you know, and brings him back to a geography that he loves, and a place and time that he loves. You can really see it just feels like he's excited to be behind the camera again here.
Yeah, and I think that. That he is one of the prominent directors and actors. So that's what interests me, is that he takes acting jobs.
Yeah.
Some mediocre, some heavies. Mm-hmm. He seems to take, I don't know where he gets the time to do all this, but he's amazing.
Most recently, he was the heavy in Tenet.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know.
He was the Russian baddie.
Oh, yeah, this is the movie that was going to save cinema.
Yeah, well, we didn't know that. We didn't know how deeply entrenched people were at the time.
But anyway, so I think that his Belfast is going to be a contender. It is not going to win, but I think it should be nominated for Best Movie of the Year.
What do you make of the criticisms that are saying this is just his version of Cuarón's Roma?
Well,
he's lifting.
It's an interesting comparison. And I was thinking about that this morning and saying to myself, I think Cuarón has it on him. That is that he rides over him with his much more textured, layered, more in many ways more profound. Mm-hmm. The Roma, more shocking in some ways. It has so much more than Branagh has in this. But yet, as we had talked about in Cinema Classics, if we had talked about the sentimentality of this, Branagh is clearly acknowledging that this is a sentimental take on his youth.
Yeah.
You know, and Cuarón is not doing anything like that.
Right, right, right. Let me ask you a question about Titane.
Yes.
So, you know, as I've mentioned in different ways throughout this conversation, Belfast functions as a way to sort of underline and underscore the relationships that we know, loving, familial yes. relationships, yeah. right? It's a way to hold those up and support those ideas that you have already. You know, we all think back, most of us think back fondly upon our mothers, fathers, grandparents, etc. Titane does not do that because this girl doesn't have any of that. And the father, or the Vincent, the firefighter character, that has been taken from him. His child, he's divorced.
Yes, yes.
He lives with this, you know, this cadre of firefighters, and it's a hyper-masculine household. But what I wanted to ask you was, I want you to kind of explain to me the discomfort you felt. Knowing you, I mm-hmm. feel like this movie made you squirm a little bit.
Well, my strength
in the relationships
yep, and
between
I got
her
you.
And him.
Yeah,
specifically.
and what I find is that I look away at anything that's too graphic, mm-hmm. Even oil coming from her breasts or from her stomach mm-hmm. and so on. I turn away a bit. Many of the contortions that she did, I found were difficult for me, but I knew that they were important to the film.
Yeah,
and I knew that the film wasn't about anything more than love.
Right.
And you mentioned, and you said it just right a minute ago, it's not even about family, because this family is a shotgun family. It's all over the freaking place
right.
if there's anybody related to anybody in here. But what you do know by the time you get to the end is that it is love.
Yeah.
As strange as this
isn't it?
It's going
right?
to do it. Yes.
That was what I really
yep.
sort
I knew
of
this.
Moved me profoundly about the movie,
yep.
is that as human beings, no matter what your situation, we
yes.
seek this solace.
Yes.
We seek this comfort.
Yes.
And we will, to use your word, contort ourselves
yes.
in any way to experience it. And when we do experience it, when it is truly selfless and when it is truly unconditional,
yes.
which is, I think, what she experiences, the love she experiences, and the love Vincent and her find with each other.
Yes.
You know, they it transcends this, I'm going to pretend that you're my missing son. It transcends,
yep.
I'm going to pretend you're my real
yep.
father. It transcends this idea that they flirt briefly with, like, maybe this is a sexual love.
Right.
It transcends all of that.
Oh, God.
And at the very end, the last gesture of human touch that is demonstrated is what you're saying. It is this triumph of love.
And let me reinforce what you're saying with one of the scenes that comes back to me
mm-hmm.
is when she's undoing the tape.
Oh,
to,
yeah.
To, and then when he comes in the room to see that it's actually, she's actually a female.
Right.
There's barely a break in his embrace of her.
Mm-hmm.
As it very well could have been disgusted, turned around, but he was not.
Right.
It was just a moment where all he had to do was to adjust his thinking.
Yeah.
And he was on her right away. And I thought that was beautiful.
Because what they're both in the back of their mind, they're so damaged, these people.
Yes. yeah.
That they can't, and they're both portrayed as, you know, sort of not great thinkers, not, you know, they're damaged people who operate in a working class milieu. They're groping
towards yes.
something, right? But he knows that there's love there, right? He knows
yes.
that there's a connection there and that she is fulfilling a role for him and he is
yes.
for her. And that is what sort of overrides the shock and surprise of that moment.
On a topic much less profound,
yeah.
but the differences between the two are, first of all, that Branagh's is available only in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he built his whole set, is contained.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I think like Cuarón's Roma, possible to enjoy it on your smaller screen.
Interesting.
Titane, I'm very happy I did not see on the big screen.
Really?
I did rent it from Amazon.
Okay.
Okay, so here you go. Here's something streaming.
Yeah.
And yet I said to myself, I wonder, I could be interested in seeing this Blood and Guts on a big screen. But anyway, there is a difference between the two, the black and white and the vivid color.
Right, right. I wish I had seen Titane on the big screen because of the texture of the film.
Yeah.
The colors, it is a very cinematic film.
Yeah. Her scene is when she's dancing.
Her scene, dancing,
to the car, when she's the car model.
Right.
And then, are good. These are worthy
of a big... It changes visual strategies a little bit midway through. But I think... anyway, look, we got to wrap up. But what a great... This is the magic of cinema for me.
Yes.
That you can have these two vastly, wildly different experiences. Yeah. You can have one filmmaker who wants to... assure you that the things you love, the places in our lives, the memories you have of being a child are sacred, right?
Yes.
And beautiful and a thing to hold on to.
Yeah.
And then another film that can just say, show you and reveal the grotesqueries of life and the perversions that happened to us as children that hurt us.
Oh, you're right.
That we want to forget.
I think that one, Titane, is expressed by Tennyson when he said, "Nature, red in tooth and claw." I mean, bloody and brutal. And this is all because of Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
But that Titane really brings out the most elemental business in lives that we don't experience.
Yeah.
But lives, once you take it figuratively, you're pretty safe. To think this is in any way real could be. Not in my experience.
Yeah.
Branagh's is definitely in my experience from the 50s.
Right.
I mean, he's in the 60s, and that's what originally what I loved about cinema was what he brought. Now, Titane is what I appreciate about cinema.
Look, it all comes down to picking your poison.
And as always...
And with movies, you can have both.
As always, you dominate. We had original vision.
I'll let you. Would say that Tennyson quote again?
Nature, red in tooth and claw. R-E-D.
Okay.
Nature, red in tooth and claw.
There you go. I'll let you end on that. Highly literate reference.